City and Guilds Qualifications. International ESOL, Expert Level. New 2009 CEFR Aligned Practice Paper 3. Part 1. You will hear 8 short, unfinished conversations. Choose the best reply to continue the conversation. Put a circle round the letter of the best reply. First, look at the example. You will hear the conversations twice. Number one.
Anyway, he suddenly announced his resignation.
What? Out of the blue?
Yes, I was there. I'm not making it up.
Number two.
You've done a terrific job. Well done.
Thanks. I wasn't sure whether that was what you wanted.
It's precisely what I wanted.
Number three.
I'm sorry, but it really wasn't my fault.
Well, whose fault was it then?
One of my team didn't do his job properly.
Number four.
I'm not sure about this. You've put me in a difficult position.
I wouldn't ask if it wasn't important.
I'll have to think about it.
Number five.
I can't understand why he hasn't arrived.
Don't worry, he's probably delayed in the traffic.
But he would have phoned, surely.
Number six.
What do you think of the new neighbours?
Not much. They're a noisy lot.
Give them a chance. They've got really young children. What do you think of the new neighbours?
Not much. They're a noisy lot.
Give them a chance. They've got really young children.
Number seven.
So, this is how management intends to proceed.
I object to this. There's been no consultation.
I'm afraid it's a management decision. So, this is how management intends to proceed.
I object to this. There's been no consultation.
I'm afraid it's a management decision.
Number eight.
I may be able to help you out with those.
Really? I used to have lots.
Don't worry. I've got loads of them at home. I may be able to help you out with those.
Really? I used to have lots.
Don't worry. I've got loads of them at home.
That is the end of part one. Part two. You will hear three conversations. Listen to the conversations and answer the questions below. Put a circle round the letter of the correct answer. You will hear each conversation twice. Look at the questions for conversation one. Conversation 1.
So what exactly do you do, Mike?
I'm a patent lawyer. I work for inventors or companies. I make sure that legally no one can take their original ideas and use them as their own.
Sounds interesting.
Yes, it is, and I do enjoy it. But I'm getting a bit stale, so I'm looking for something more interesting in a different branch of the profession.
Oh, really? You're qualified in law too, aren't you, Stephen?
Yeah, but I gave up years ago. It didn't suit me, really. I'm in publishing, commissioning editor for school books.
A bit different from law, I imagine.
Yes, although my legal qualifications are quite useful, actually. We decide what books we want and find experts to write them.
Easier said than done, I expect.
Oh, yes. Especially making sure they keep to the agreed guidelines and deadlines.
I can imagine.
But it's rewarding work, especially when the book comes out.
Conversation 1.
So what exactly do you do, Mike?
I'm a patent lawyer. I work for inventors or companies. I make sure that legally no one can take their original ideas and use them as their own.
Sounds interesting.
Yes, it is, and I do enjoy it. But I'm getting a bit stale, so I'm looking for something more interesting in a different branch of the profession.
Oh, really? You're qualified in law too, aren't you, Stephen?
Yeah, but I gave up years ago. It didn't suit me, really. I'm in publishing, commissioning editor for school books.
A bit different from law, I imagine.
Yes, although my legal qualifications are quite useful, actually. We decide what books we want and find experts to write them.
Easier said than done, I expect.
Oh, yes. Especially making sure they keep to the agreed guidelines and deadlines.
I can imagine.
But it's rewarding work, especially when the book comes out.
Now look at the questions for conversation 2. Conversation
Conversation 2.
I'm sorry, madam, but do you know why I've pulled you over?
Yes, I'm sorry, officer. I just lost concentration for a moment. We're a bit late and I wasn't thinking.
You realise there is a stop sign at the junction? You almost ran into a cyclist, could have killed him.
Yes, I said I'm sorry. I'm not normally like this.
I'm afraid it was my fault, officer. We were discussing something and my wife just lost concentration for a moment. Anyway, that cyclist appeared from nowhere.
Is this your car, madam?
Well, it's our car, yes.
Do you have your documentation?
Yes, of course.
How long is this going to take? You see, we're in a bit of a hurry.
We have to pick up our 13-year-old son from the airport. We got the times wrong, and now we're late.
This won't take a moment, but I'm afraid this incident will have to be reported.
Conversation 2.
I'm sorry, madam, but do you know why I've pulled you over?
Yes, I'm sorry, officer. I just lost concentration for a moment. We're a bit late and I wasn't thinking.
You realise there is a stop sign at the junction? You almost ran into a cyclist, could have killed him.
Yes, I said I'm sorry. I'm not normally like this.
I'm afraid it was my fault, officer. We were discussing something and my wife just lost concentration for a moment. Anyway, that cyclist appeared from nowhere.
Is this your car, madam?
Well, it's our car, yes.
Do you have your documentation?
Yes, of course.
How long is this going to take? You see, we're in a bit of a hurry.
We have to pick up our 13-year-old son from the airport. We got the times wrong, and now we're late.
This won't take a moment, but I'm afraid this incident will have to be reported.
Now look at the questions for conversation 3. Conversation 3.
Excuse me, we're looking for a shop that sells reproduction prints by local artists. I'm sure it's in this street.
Oh, you mean Owen's Arts?
I'm not sure what it's called. But I was a student here years ago and loved that shop.
You're in the right place, but I'm afraid the shop closed down years ago. It was over there.
Oh, that cafe.
Cafe and restaurant, yes. It's happening all over town. All the interesting shops are closing down and cafes and restaurants are taking over. Greedy landlords overcharging.
What a pity. My husband has been going on about this place for years. And now we finally come here, it's gone.
Sorry, I can't help you.
Oh, never mind. I suppose we could have a cup of coffee. Sorry about that, darling.
That's okay. At least you found it. And after all, it was 30 years ago. Things move on.
Conversation 3.
Excuse me, we're looking for a shop that sells reproduction prints by local artists. I'm sure it's in this street.
Oh, you mean Owen's Arts?
I'm not sure what it's called, but I was a student here years ago and loved that shop.
You're in the right place, but I'm afraid the shop closed down years ago. It was over there.
Oh, that cafe.
Cafe and restaurant, yes. It's happening all over town. All the interesting shops are closing down and cafes and restaurants are taking over. Greedy landlords overcharging.
What a pity. My husband has been going on about this place for years. And now we finally come here, it's gone.
Sorry, I can't help you.
Oh, never mind. I suppose we could have a cup of coffee. Sorry about that, darling.
That's okay. At least you found it. And after all, it was 30 years ago. Things move on.
That is the end of part 2. Part 3. Part 3. Listen to the podcast about the Grand Canyon National Park and complete the notes below. Write short answers, 1 to 5 words. An example is done for you. At the end of the podcast, you will have 2 minutes to read through and check your answers. You will hear the podcast twice. You have 1 minute to look at the notes below.
Grand Canyon National Park. These are exciting times, I do believe, here at Grand Canyon National Park. We have many projects that I think the public will find interesting and will really contribute to their experience. One of the big ones, and one of my favourites being a hiker, is everything we are doing on trails. We have new trails on the rim. The new Hermit Rim Trail for summertime when it's hot is beautiful. It has incredible views. It's right on the edge of the canyon, and it's in great shape. We're also working on trails within the canyon. We have hundreds of miles of trails, but we're really emphasizing the corridor trails and getting those up and into the best shape we can. We have work going on to improve parking and exhibits and a new film at the visitor center. Lots of resource projects, too, that the average visitor may not see firsthand, but things that we are taking care of, like exotic plants in the park to keep it more natural, and wildlife programs. There's just a lot going on, and it's a great time to be in the park. We have to make sure that we're taking care of this park for future generations. We're reaching out to visitors from all over the world to make sure they have the most special experience they possibly can. It has to be one that includes history and the environment, and also is contemporary, that reaches out to people. I think that other challenges are always related to our budgets and making sure that we maintain the park like we want to. We have, like the cities of the United States, over $250 million in deferred maintenance. A lot of that is things that people don't think about, from maintaining a water system here, where the water comes from inside the canyon, to taking care of roads and facilities. It's going to be a challenge, but with our staff, I think we are really up for it. I mean, this is one of the 7 wonders of the world. By my estimation, one of the most fantastic parks, not just in the United States, but anywhere in the world. So it's important to set those goals high, and that we do everything we can to reach them. I think that we are well on our way. I've only been here a couple of years, and I'm looking forward to continuing to stepping up to meet those challenges and working with our staff to make sure we achieve our aims. One of my goals has been to try to hike across the canyon rim to rim in every season. I'm pleased to say I actually met that goal with a winter hike across the canyon. I just really recommend to people that when you come to the Grand Canyon, take some kind of short hike or ranger hike, or get out there and look, even if it's just a few hundred yards, into the canyon. It's a remarkable experience.
Part 3.
Grand Canyon National Park. These are exciting times, I do believe, here at Grand Canyon National Park. We have many projects that I think the public will find interesting and will really contribute to their experience. One of the big ones, and one of my favourites being a hiker, is everything we are doing on trails. We have new trails on the rim. The new Hermit Rim Trail for summertime when it's hot is beautiful. It has incredible views, it's right on the edge of the canyon, and it's in great shape. We're also working on trails within the canyon. We have hundreds of miles of trails, but we're really emphasizing the corridor trails and getting those up and into the best shape we can. We have work going on to improve parking and exhibits and a new film at the visitor center. Lots of resource projects, too, that the average visitor may not see firsthand, but things that we are taking care of, like exotic plants in the park to keep it more natural, and wildlife programs. There's just a lot going on, and it's a great time to be in the park. We have to make sure that we're taking care of this park for future generations. We're reaching out to visitors from all over the world to make sure they have the most special experience they possibly can. It has to be one that includes history and the environment and also is contemporary, that reaches out to people. I think that other challenges are always related to our budgets and making sure that we maintain the park like we want to. We have, like the cities of the United States, over $250 million in deferred maintenance. A lot of that is things that people don't think about, from maintaining a water system here, where the water comes from inside the canyon, to taking care of roads and facilities. It's going to be a challenge, but with our staff, I think we are really up for it. I mean, this is one of the seven wonders of the world. By my estimation, one of the most fantastic parks, not just in the United States, but anywhere in the world. So it's important to set those goals high and that we do everything we can to reach them. I think that we are well on our way. I've only been here a couple of years, and I'm looking forward to continuing to stepping up to meet those challenges and working with our staff to make sure we achieve our aims. One of my goals has been to try to hike across the canyon rim to rim in every season. I'm pleased to say I actually met that goal with a winter hike across the canyon. I just really recommend to people that when you come to the Grand Canyon, take some kind of short hike or ranger hike or get out there and look, even if it's just a few hundred yards, into the canyon. It's a remarkable experience.
You will now have 2 minutes to read through and check your answers. That is the end of part 3. Part 4. Listen to the conversation and answer the questions. Put a circle round the letter of the correct answer. An example is done for you. You will hear the conversation twice. You have 2 minutes to read through the questions below.
Good afternoon. Maria Spencer here. Welcome to our afternoon discussion session. According to a study published today, the children of mothers who return to work full-time in the years before they start school have slower emotional development and score less well in reading and maths tests during their subsequent school lives. Dr. Eric Small is an expert in this area, and he's here today.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Now, I have to tell you that, as a working mum, I have a fairly active interest in this topic, and I'm afraid it's another report which, without intending to, ends up criticising the poor working mum. Why should we all consistently be made to feel so guilty?
Well, first of all, let me say that this report is not, for one moment, suggesting that mothers who return to work are neglecting their children. Far from it. But the report concerns itself with statistics and scientific measurement, and it shows that the disadvantage to children of working mums, no matter what their background, starts in primary school and persists into early adulthood, with lower educational attainment and higher unemployment likely.
But surely a lot of this depends on the makeup of the family, on the contribution to family life and child rearing from both partners.
I'm sure that there are many families who manage to balance work and family life fantastically well, but that seems to have little effect on educational progress. The report found that the employment patterns of the father have little effect either.
Now, you claim that this report has been written on the basis of statistical evidence, but there is other research that claims that the timing of a mother's return to work has no influence on their children's development at all. What are we to believe? Presumably a different set of statistics was used, or the same ones with different interpretations.
I believe the study you are referring to was carried out within a number of different European countries, whereas this one was just in the United Kingdom. It's possible that it may have something to do with the way families work there. For example, greater availability of family members with the ability and willingness to help out, easier access to childcare, a greater social acceptance of children's needs, that kind of thing. Also, we in the UK, especially men, work the longest hours in Europe, and surely we need to change that. although according to the UK report, working patterns make no difference.
Now, we all have this image of professional mothers returning to work to resume their career. But it seems to me interesting that the vast majority of women returning to work after having a child are in fact forced to do so, and many may be from the lower income, less educated bracket. So it's more a matter of necessity than choice, in fact.
Yes, absolutely. I must admit that I meet a lot of women who thoroughly enjoy being a full-time mum. But these are the fortunate ones, as they feel no pressure either from society or from their partners to go back to work. They regard childcare as a profession in itself, which of course it is. It's a pity things aren't more often simply a matter of choice.
And I suppose the positive effects of higher household income goes some way to compensating for the negative effect of reduced contact in the early years.
Oh, indeed. It's a question of balance. But the report is saying that it has little to do with education or class. Even the children of highly educated mothers who go back to full-time work early will have comparatively lower educational attainment, and then the pattern is repeated.
Part 4.
Good afternoon. Maria Spencer here. Welcome to our afternoon discussion session. According to a study published today, the children of mothers who return to work full-time in the years before they start school have slower emotional development and score less well in reading and maths tests during their subsequent school lives. Dr. Eric Small is an expert in this area, and he's here today.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Now, I have to tell you that, as a working mum, I have a fairly active interest in this topic, and I'm afraid it's another report which, without intending to, ends up criticising the poor working mum. Why should we all consistently be made to feel so guilty?
Well, first of all, let me say that this report is not, for one moment, suggesting that mothers who return to work are neglecting their children. Far from it. But the report concerns itself with statistics and scientific measurement, and it shows that the disadvantage to children of working mums, no matter what their background, starts in primary school and persists into early adulthood, with lower educational attainment and higher unemployment likely.
But surely a lot of this depends on the makeup of the family, on the contribution to family life and child rearing from both partners.
I'm sure that there are many families who manage to balance work and family life fantastically well, but that seems to have little effect on educational progress. The report found that the employment patterns of the father have little effect either.
Now, you claim that this report has been written on the basis of statistical evidence, but there is other research that claims that the timing of a mother's return to work has no influence on their children's development at all. What are we to believe? Presumably a different set of statistics was used, or the same ones with different interpretations.
I believe the study you are referring to was carried out within a number of different European countries, whereas this one was just in the United Kingdom. It's possible that it may have something to do with the way families work there. For example, greater availability of family members with the ability and willingness to help out, easier access to childcare, a greater social acceptance of children's needs, that kind of thing. Also, we in the UK, especially men, work the longest hours in Europe, and surely we need to change that. Although, according to the UK report, working patterns make no difference.
Now, we all have this image of professional mothers returning to work to resume their career. But it seems to me interesting that the vast majority of women returning to work after having a child are in fact forced to do so, and many may be from the lower income, less educated bracket. So it's more a matter of necessity than choice, in fact.
Yes, absolutely. I must admit that I meet a lot of women who thoroughly enjoy being a full-time mum. But these are the fortunate ones, as they feel no pressure either from society or from their partners to go back to work. They regard childcare as a profession in itself, which, of course, it is. It's a pity things aren't more often simply a matter of choice.
And I suppose the positive effects of higher household income goes some way to compensating for the negative effect of reduced contact in the early years.
Oh, indeed. It's a question of balance. But the report is saying that it has little to do with education or class. Even the children of highly educated mothers who go back to full-time work early will have comparatively lower educational attainment, and then the pattern is repeated.
That is the end of part four. You now have 2 hours, 40 minutes to complete the rest of the paper.